I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, guys. I hope you're having a great evening. I got a great show planned for you. Mouse will be joining us here shortly. We're going to be talking about 3i Atlas, all the major new updates on it, which are amazing and insane, to say the least. So there's a lot going on with the new developments, and you know, it's just so much information. But right away, I wanted to start out by talking about how essentially the stock market is not looking good. And this came about today. The Dow Jones has tumbled 800 points with NASDAQ, S&P 500 hammered, investors pair rate cuts and bets. And they're saying that U.S. stocks fell sharply on Thursday, led by decline in tech stocks as the end of the longest ever government shutdown was met by concern from investors that the Federal Reserve's plans for a December rate cut might be in doubt. So a lot of this stuff, when they bring this stuff up, when they talk about this stuff on the news and in and to the general public, virtually they are just spouting pure propaganda, because more often than not, we are seeing just the opposite of what they're saying going on. You know, they're giving us all sorts of numbers that never add up. They never amount to anything. And it makes you wonder, you know, what's going on. I mean, obviously, a lot of this is just propaganda going out. When they talk about the economy in general, but now we're seeing some of the effects of it. And it is crazy to think about that a lot of this matches up with some of the geographic data, some of the atmospheric data, some data that matches our solar cycle, and even 3i Atlas. And it adds intrigue to the whole situation, because at the end of the day, we are seeing gold and silver prices spike again, okay? And if we take a look at this chart right here, gold is at $4,183.61 currently. It spiked up back in August and September. It was really heading up, and then it started taking a dive into the beginning of November, right, and working its way back up. And now it's back up to this near high level. And we're seeing the same thing with silver right here. in the graph. This is over a 1 year period that we're looking at on this graph, and silver at $52.52 per ounce. That's what it's trading at. But interestingly enough, this also coincides with the dip in the stock market, right? But there's more to it than that. It gets into historical magnetic declination, where they've tracked the rapid pole shift. They've tracked the rapid movement of the pole shift, right? And they've tracked it for some time. And they ultimately know that, it's accelerating at a great rate. And if we look at this pole shift chart right here, it just shows the acceleration. Let me try to pull it up a little better. See that green dot up here near the top? And watch it move as the years turn over on that chart near the bottom. And watch how this, the magnetics are shifting, right? But what ultimately happens is, in the last 20 years or so, it started moving way more rapidly. Look at that acceleration right there. Did you see that green dot up there, guys? So let me see if I can get back to this. Now, follow this green dot up near the top. And we're starting out in 1640s, 1670s, the 1700s, okay? And this chart is moving. It's currently moving. And up here, I'm going to circle it. Here's the year marker right here. Now watch this dot start moving rapidly, way faster this way. The reason for this is the Planet X Nibiru, there it goes. Now that's all happening in a short span right there. And that is because the Planet X Nibiru Nemesis star system is abruptly approaching. And we can also see that with near-Earth asteroids that have been discovered, and the ramp up to almost 40,000 NEOs, or near-Earth asteroids. A lot of these potentially hazardous. And this graph right here, this also started, look, in the year 2000, it started ramping up. Now we're at 2025, and this thing has 40,000. We started with just 2,000 NEOs back here, okay? So, it's quite the increase, and all of that coincides with the economy and gold and silver. And why does it do that? Why does it coincide? Anyone? Bueller. Okay. Well, the reason it does is because ultimately the elites know what's coming. And when they form currency, from the very day it's formed, it starts blowing out, because they know that ultimately there is a doomsday or an expiration date on it, because they themselves have found knowledge and know a lot of these secrets. They've got them locked away in vaults. They've had ancient texts, contact with aliens supposedly, and all sorts of stuff to let them in on what is going on. And that's why there's a ramp up of this as it's all taking place. But things are getting a little bit weird. Like NASA is now talking about how they might have to nuke an asteroid to save the moon in 2032. And I brought this up before, but I want to illustrate how we also have asteroid Apophis, which is a continent killer, coming in 2029. And they claim they don't know if it's going to hit or not, and they say it's probably likely going to miss, but there's a chance that it can hit, and it could be a lot worse than they say. And also, this asteroid right here can hit the moon in 2025. So we have problems that they're worried about. I mean, if they're considering using nukes in space and all this, and Mouse will be joining us here in a little bit, but there is a lot going on because, all of the media rhetoric is ramping up on this, and things are just getting crazier and crazier. But I'm going to play a clip of this NASA. I'm going to just play this out because I want people to realize what they're moving toward. Even if it's 2029 or Apophis or 2032, the government has to prepare. But we also got 3i Atlas to worry about. And we're going to talk about the government shutdown. They claim they fired the government back up, but a lot of stuff still remains closed. And we're going to go over that. But we're also going to go over how the government's only funded until January 30th. Could we be looking at some type of Easter Day arrival or something like that? Like Chris Bledsoe has previously said. Let's look at this NASA clip.
Remember that asteroid that wiped dinosaurs off the face of the Earth? Brace yourself. We might witness a similar scenario in our lifetimes. And this time, the consequences might even be more catastrophic. There's just one tiny difference. This new asteroid is likely to smack into the moon. No, this is not a sci-fi scenario anymore. There's this asteroid called 2024 YR4 that scientists say has about a 4% chance of hitting the moon in 2032. So what do we do? Try to gently shove it off course or blow it up? A bunch of researchers, including people from NASA, dug into this and suggested several options. Their worry is real. If that rock hits the moon, it could kick up a massive cloud of debris. And this cloud could spike to as much as 1,000 times normal levels for a few days. That's not just messy. It could endanger astronauts and satellites in low Earth orbit. One obvious idea is to nudge the asteroid so it misses the moon. Another is a full-on breakup. Basically, a deliberate explosion. Experts use a clever term to describe it, a robust disruption. But nuking an asteroid is totally untested. Nobody has ever done it before, and it carries huge risks. You could create a bunch of smaller but more dangerous fragments, or do something unexpected that can make things worse. In any case, the idea is out there for scientists to chew on. Now here's the backstory. 2024 YR4 was first spotted on December 27, 2024, and reported to the Minor Planet Center. That's the official hub that tracks all new asteroids and comets. Pretty soon, it showed up on NASA's Century Impact Risk Table, which is like the agency's watch list for any asteroid that could potentially hit Earth. For a little while, things looked sketchy. Out of 37,000 plus known large asteroids, YR4 was the only one with a real chance of smacking into Earth anytime soon. Its odds even climbed to a record 3.1%.
That might not sound like much to such amateurs as me and you, but in space terms, that's huge.
All right, they're talking about a 3.1%. Again, they lie about these numbers, and often the probabilities are a lot higher.
Luckily, after a few more months of better tracking and sharper observations, they nailed down the asteroid's orbit more precisely. Turns out its path isn't taking it anywhere near us after all. Its chance of hitting Earth has dropped so low, it's basically zero now. So, we can breathe out and relax. Earth is safe. But the moon? Maybe not. And that's why researchers are now debating whether to blow the thing up before it ever gets close. The thing is, asteroid 2024 YR4 is pretty big.
Oh man, this is just crazy. I mean, if they blow this thing up, it's going to break it into pieces and it's just going to fall all over the atmosphere. This is nuts. I think that is probably the stupidest plan ever. But, you know, what happens if it hits the moon? Will it send the moon cascading down into the earth? Will we be in a moonfall type scenario like the Hollywood film?
Based on what the James Webb Space Telescope saw, it's about 220 feet long, roughly the size of a 20-story building. Not exactly a pebble, I'd say. At first, NASA thought there was only around a 1.7% chance that YR4 would crash into the moon. But then, the Webb Telescope checked again in March, and that number jumped to 3.8% right away. By May, it climbed once again. It was already sitting at about 4.3%. In other words, the more they looked, the more likely it seemed that this space rock might actually hit our natural satellite. On the bright side, these new observations help.
So, guys, I mean, that's the thing. You know, if that hits the moon, it's going to hit the moon. But look, 2 billion people will be able to see God of Chaos, they're calling it, the asteroid Apophis, when it buzzes Earth in April of 2029. But, is it just going to buzz Earth? Because it's a continent killer. This asteroid is big. It's like I think it's really big. This thing stands to do a lot of damage if it hits. And so at minimum, they are worried about these. They're in continuity of government over all sorts of stuff like this. But all in all, earthquakes here is, you know, this is another example of the perturbation brought on by the Planet X Nibiru Nemesis star system. We can see the uptick in this data right here, right? Going up and how it increases. So, that also coinciding with the stock market, just coming to an end, basically, because, you know, gold and silver prices signify what's going on. They signify the true value of everything and kind of where we're sitting in the big scheme of things, right? Of course, they got these volcanoes now. Underwater volcanoes off of the coast of Oregon and the axial seamount. And they were saying, look, this volcano is imminently going to erupt by the end of 2025. But now they're saying it might be a little later into 2026, mid 2026 or something like that. And, they're basically just getting ready for all this stuff because, like I've talked about before, they're getting the Oregon government ready. All their buildings are being hardened. They're getting ready for tsunamis, for this magma to come in, possibly even an eruption in the Cascades and stuff like that, because this is going to cause over 10,000 earthquakes when it happens, and it can trigger other zones, and it's going to push magma in under these chambers and into under the Cascades. This is all in the Ring of Fire, and they're saying it could blow now in mid to late 2026 is their best guess. They've been monitoring this thing, so they have pushed some of these timelines back, and I mean, I guess that makes sense. They've reopened the government, but they're planning on shutting it again on January 30th. So a lot of people think that was just like a beta test run to kind of shut everything and see how it's going to go. But they've been doing these axial seamount experiments to test real-time eruption forecasts off the coast. And these scientists are out there always working on this, basically, and they're trying to get this forecast framework set up so that they can rely on, you know, analysis of this to evaluate eruptions and when the next one might possibly be and stuff. And they've put all these sensors down, and they got underwater cameras and stuff like this. But they're doing these experiments, and they know how this volcano has acted in the past and everything. But this is a super volcano, and it's just like, you know, NASA has this ambitious plan to save the Earth from the Yellowstone super volcano because they know that it is being perturbed, like I said, from the planet X and the Biru Nemesis star system, which is the underlying cause for everything, this economy, how you know, you guys saw those graphs, the more near Earth objects being pushed into us from the asteroid belt, just lots of things happening with our planetary system. And, you know, our planets are all connected to the sun, to our sun, by electromagnetic field lines. And they kind of octopus out from there. And those lines hold the planets in order, but when there's solar wind, you know, huge solar flares and blasts, that starts blowing the planets around. But also when there's a major magnetic influence coming in, it starts messing with the magnetosphere, it starts tugging on poles, pushing and pulling on the outer planets and collapsing their atmospheres. And all this has been documented to the point of which they've admitted that there's rogue planets in our system. They've admitted that there's a planet nine. They've admitted that they've, you know, Clyde Tombaugh was researching this years and years ago, admitting that Pluto was being tugged on, all these outer planets being tugged on. And so NASA has this plan to what? Mitigate the Yellowstone supervolcano. And there's around 20 known supervolcanoes on Earth, and a lot of these have major eruptions about once every 100,000 years, right? So that's a long period of time. But one of the greatest threats, you know, that could be imposed from an eruption is starvation. You know, a prolonged volcanic winter going on. And if these things start erupting all over the world, like the Campe Flegre volcano in Italy is literally ready to go right now. It could potentially kill like a million people. There's like 1.4 million people in and around that region. They're not evacuating them. They've got these plans to bring them on boats, but there's going to be tsunamis. Nothing's making sense. And the United Nations estimated that food reserves worldwide would last 74 days in a nuclear winter. So guys, if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupts, it can send the world into a nuclear winter, or vast portions of it, which would then create famine, and the world food reserves would diminish in just 74 days. And NASA found out this is a big problem. And why is NASA involved in mitigating a supervolcano? Why are they under there right now digging magma chamber? They're digging lava tubes with underground boring equipment. We've heard the videos of it. The guy found it digging a straight line for miles under his property. But you know, they've also told us that the Russians are planning on nuking this volcano. Why? Could that be part of their plan to mitigate it? and then they blame it on the Russians? You know, what are they really going to do, with this volcano, right? So they want to increase the amount of water in it, but is that, you know, from a practical standpoint, does that sound like it would work? Would it cool? I mean, how much water would you have to put into it? Could it build up steam and then explode? So they want to drill down about 5 miles into the supervolcano and pump down water at a high pressure. And they're saying that circulating water would return temperatures to around 662 degrees Fahrenheit, thus slowly, day by day, extracting heat from the volcano. But how long could this mitigation process take? And, you know, is this even feasible? But I know right now they're doing drilling under the Yellowstone supervolcano, and it makes you wonder, right, where this is all headed, you know, where this is all going. I mean, if they're having to mitigate a supervolcano in America, this is openly admitted, in the mainstream news, we might have bigger problems than people realize. Because if that volcano erupts, I mean, people are going to be fried in and around that region. Then, of course, it starts blanketing everything with ash, and, you know, it all starts from there. So things start happening, right? It all rolls downhill, as they say. We're going to have Mouse joining us here shortly. We're going to be getting into the 3i Atlas information, but the government shutdown is over, they claim. But they're saying not everything's back to normal. And I did an analysis on this, and they're saying, you know, a lot of stuff is still shut down, but this was the longest shutdown in U.S. history. And they're saying that President Trump did sign a bill, and it was passed by Congress on Wednesday night, and the federal government is reopening. But after 43 days on pause, things may not return to business as usual right away. Ooh, tell me more. I wonder what they're talking about, because I thought they funded it, right? Impacts could continue much longer than 6 weeks. And think, in January 30th of 2026 coming up, just after New Year's, they're going to shut it down again. I mean, it's a looming threat. It's another shutdown, and it's not even into the distant future. It's coming up rather quick. You know, they're saying that there's programs still delayed and closed. The Smithsonian Museum, museums and cultural sites, food assistance, supplemental nutrition, SNAP, still going to be closed. Now, full restoration within 2 to 3 days. But, you know, we'll see how that holds up, because, you know, will it shut down again? And will they truly fund this and pay back pay and stuff? They're saying the Head Start program is not open. The IRS, the economic data statistics, aviation and travel is going to suffer for weeks, they're saying, potentially. And then national parks and landmarks. And of course, that can keep people from camping or bugging out in the event that things get weird here, potentially with 3i Atlas. But these flight reductions and delays could last at least another week, possibly more. And they're continuing these delays all across the U.S. with over 1,000 flights canceled. Flight Tracker and Flight Aware warned it may take days for airports to get back up to speed. So President Trump signing that bill doesn't necessarily take care of completely everything. And they're saying that in addition to 1,009 cancellations, 2,120 flights were delayed on Thursday. So pretty bad, right? That also drastically affects the world economy. The flights do. So I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I think that, you know, something's still going on with the shutdown. It's not over yet. It's not the last we're going to see. I think things are still headed in the wrong direction, believe it or not. And, you know, they could have got called out on the shutdown. They're in continuity of government. We know they went to military bases. We know they're in COGCON level two. Once you're in COGCON two, usually it goes to one. They can reverse it if a threat's been eliminated. There's people talking about 3i Atlas might have been intercepted and shot down out of the space or like attacked. We're going to play clips of that. And I mean, it's getting weird just based on the information that's going out. But there's also lots of shilling going on. And I'm curious to see how this video will play out because, you know, every major scientist, you know, is well, not every major scientist, but Avi Loeb especially and other astronomers have come out and they all know there's all of these irregularities with 3i Atlas. And to the point of where when you use Occam's razor, it's very suspicious. AI even says it's 99.9% technological alien. So, you know, it makes you wonder what's going on. I'm going to share this. I'm going to play this video of tinfoil hat with Sam Tripoli. I've been on the show. You know, Sam's a good guy and everything. But interesting that either they don't care about this or they're somehow shilling over it. I mean, I would hope Sam's not a shill or something, but somehow this is not on their radar and doesn't matter. And they just think it's a nothing burger. Let's run the clip.
Excited about the 3i Atlas that was
Bravo
supposed to come and terrorize
on bottom,
us on New Year,
Sam Tripoli.
Halloween. That's conveniently now behind
Xavier
the sun.
And Johnny
it just
Woodward.
Shot past us. Is that what we're talking about? It just didn't even stop.
I can't believe anybody's even taking that serious.
I can't. Like, it's just driving me nuts, dude.
I mean, it's so obvious that it's fake as shit. I mean, it's so obvious. I can't believe people are entertaining this as like a real thing. I can't believe it.
What about that Israeli who was like, take your vacation days now.
So stupid, dude. So
take your
dumb.
Vacation early.
Yeah,
as an idiot.
So, what do you think, Sam, about that SR, whatever the fuck they call it?
The FR?
What?
Three eyes.
What is this fake shit?
The
fake
3i Atlas thing?
Yes, that one. What do you?
Yeah, I think it's bullshit. I said from the start. I was saying on my other show until they're penetrating me, I do not care. Until they're in my guts. And make me call them daddy. I'm just not going to be into it. And I have zero.
That's been your policy in life, pretty much, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Until
okay,
you're
so
guts.
There's the Sam Tripoli clip. You know, and I mean, it makes you wonder, like, where all that's going, right? So we got Mouse joining us. We're going to pull him up. This is getting wild, but a lot of, you know, stuff going on in alternative media to where, you know, there's a lot of people reporting this, but then there's people like Sam Tripoli and his crew and Eddie Bravo, just they don't buy it at all. They're just saying it's completely fake. Every astronomer that's seen it must be crazy or whatever. Mouse, what's going on? You look
What's
good.
What's going on, bro? Check out these glasses.
Yeah.
They block the haters. It's
yeah.
My hater vision.
Hater blockers.
Yeah,
they're like blue blockers, but hater blocker.
Yeah. I noticed you were talking a little bit about Eddie Bravo and everything, and it just goes to show you, like, they have false flagged these types of events so much that they've got everybody with their door wide open. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, And even if this isn't an event, like if this does not translate into something that's world changing, well, they've given us the narrative to what they're going to try to do in the future.
But well, and you know, just the fact that there's irregularities and they're so over and above what a normal comet would be, and they're not even interested in that. I mean, shouldn't you like at least raise an eyebrow about something like that, right? So, you know, to them,
I mean, maybe that has a lot to do with this 5G and everything being put into effect, where it's like dialed down people's mind to where they just don't care anymore.
I think so, because you know, and well, and obviously a lot of people are wrapped up and stuff. Sam's busy and stuff, but get this. It's, you know, the way they were treating it is, it's too tinfoil hat to talk about on a show literally called Tinfoil Hat. So, I mean,
so,
they're tin.
So now Tinfoil Hat doesn't discuss Tinfoil Hat.
Yes, you conspiracy. Can only have CNN verified information now on Tinfoil Hat. No tinfoil hatters allowed anymore.
Well, what's funny about it is because that's like a psychological play, right? Because this is not even tinfoil hat information. Like there's a literal Harvard physicist coming out and saying this information.
So that's, it's almost like a reverse psyop in a way, whether they meant to do it or not. That's how it's coming out. But like, okay, so it's too tinfoil hat for tinfoil hat, but then if they're expecting, if it's too tinfoil hat, then we have to report the real information and what we know about it scientifically and what other astronomers have observed and everything, which is all of the anomalies that you need to report, right? So like it's this weird paradox that we're in now, apparently.
But where's the real information about it? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to saying that it's extraterrestrial, even though the top two physicists, one, Mikachu Pikachu, came out and said, if it changes trajectory or speeds up around the sun, it is 100% alien, did not leave a back door. 3i Atlas did that. And then you have the other main respected physicist, Avi Loeb, come out and he said, here we go, baby, let's go. Avi Loeb said, oh, this is going to be such a good broadcast, man. You share this, like this broadcast. This is about to get weird. So then you have Avi Loeb coming out saying it's 50% chance it's extraterrestrial. And now he's using the terminology of jets and using artificial terminology. So it's like we're supposed to be the crazy ones because we're just believing what the smartest people in those – in that arena are telling us.
Right. Well, that's the thing. And, you know, to top it off, I mean, okay, so that's weird. So there's all these operations, whether, you know, I don't necessarily think Sam's running a PSYOP or anything, but they're just not into the Atlas thing for some reason. But people like Timcast really are running these complex PSYOPs daily. And I'm just watching them walk everyone into it, you know, and it's like they're also so trusting of these news articles and stuff too, and no one's using critical thinking skills, and they're just taking word for word what every, you know, what articles are saying and stuff, and you know, it's just bizarre. But now all of a sudden they're coming out and there's all this political stuff going on. And a lot of people think it's like a cover for 3i Atlas or something, because they're saying, hey, Jeffrey Epstein claimed he gave the Russians insight into Trump. And they're saying that, you know, Trump knew what he was doing, basically, and all this stuff. So now this has got people checking into it, and it's created this whole thing. But people are saying they think, you know, just some comments online and stuff, that this could be a way to distract against the economy or 3i Atlas or something else that's coming. But they're noticing, like we were saying, a lot of these distractions are becoming more and more, and a lot more grand the psyops are getting a lot deeper, basically.
Well, it makes all the evidence that we have about 3i Atlas now. I mean, if somebody could just come out and say this is an extraterrestrial spacecraft, nobody would question it. This thing is not a comet. Like, and now the big story coming out is that 3i Atlas is actually causing these solar flares.
Well, that's crazy. And, you know, it very well could. I want to pull up this other clip of Corbell here, because I think that Corbell's running some type of reverse blue beam where, you know, I mean, he's basically saying that these people in the military, you know, alluded to him over the years that there was a mothership coming that they knew about. And, you know, supposedly it just hit him one day. And, you know, he decided that, you know, they're trying to tell him this to bait him into publishing that material. Like, that's going to be the thing. But, you know, maybe they genuinely wanted him to leak it. So it's like, did he ever think about that? And I find that weird that he didn't even think about that. Like, maybe they did, you know, tell him that so he would literally leak it. So it'd be like,
look at
that guy.
Look at his screen. Oh, yeah. Gun
same
safe.
Sentiment. Like, I do love his open-minded.
Yeah. I'm going to play this.
This is such a big psyop, man. And the way, before you play, hold on. The way they psyop it is there's thousands of people out here making YouTube videos, and the narrative that they want to get across, they push that one. So you see that one, and that's the one that goes viral. But sorry, Shep, go ahead.
Yeah. So let's just play this a little bit and kind of see what he's saying here.
Listen, he knows far better than me, and he's, you know, investigating the unexplained, not explaining the uninvestigated. So I've got a lot of happiness and joy for the way that he's looking at this problem set. But I, you know, I will stand firm in that I said in January, and I actually said it earlier, but it was, you know, I think it was played in January, that there was something coming, that people were going to try to convince the public at large that there was a spacecraft slowly moving to Earth. And that didn't come out of thin air. That wasn't just something I like made up before I sat down. That came from years of people trying to impose upon me something to use my mouth.
Great Scott, do you know what this means? It means that this damn thing doesn't work. No.
There was this threat coming, that there's a 1970s document that I believe to be classified for sure. And, you know, I don't have the ability to get that out to people, but it postulated this. So there were so many warning signs that this was going to happen. I finally said the quiet part out loud. Intelligence agents from multiple agencies durationally over years would call me and slowly edge at me with this theory and this idea to try to get me to say it. And it felt so manipulative, I had to call it out. So that is specifically why I said it, because I felt that pressure over time. I know you've been told, you know, oh, there are these hints of big things coming. Well, if it is, fucking say it. If it is, then you have a duty to say it. But
well,
no one's-
they can't, because they're in the military and they're under non-disclosure. So they wanted you to, but you didn't say it. And now you told everyone it's a psyop, and we don't know. Now we don't know what's going on. It's just bizarre. Like, so now it's like, well, what's going on? Is it a reverse blue beam, or is he, you know, does he know what he's talking about?
Standing up and raising their hand. So I do think it's absolute nonsense. I think that you're going to see, you know, a comet that's, you know, maybe unique by material pass by the Earth and life goes on.
Okay, so it's just a comet unique by material. There's just, you know, I mean, look.
He could just be bringing attention to it, and then he'll come out and he'll say it's wrong. But Chip, if you think about it, exactly what he said is happening, because it's not what the mainstream media is even hinting. Like, it's not what we're perceiving to be an alien craft. So if that's what he was told, well, then he's not lying.
Right. Yeah. Right? It's just kind of, it's like a weird, deal, right? Because it's kind of like going either way, and then you don't know like what to think. So it's like it splits it.
Right.
So Avi Loeb is just posted this, and
Avi Loeb's doing some real weird stuff right now, man. And we'll get into it.
I mean, we'll have to talk about it. Look at this now. He's saying that 3i Atlas is still a single body with a sunward tail after perihelion. And there's
impossible, you know, for a comet. It's just impossible.
Yep. And look at all these images. If you just take a look at how round this thing is and spherical, you know, it almost looks like the all-seeing eye, the eye of Ra, something. But right here, it almost looks metallic.
The eye
or something.
Of Sauron.
That it almost looks like a metallic sphere or something. But, you know, I just kind of wanted to show these images. But Avi Loeb's coming out. He's basically, you know, I think he's basically maintaining everything he said. What did you hear?
Well, I've heard him in his most recent interviews discuss how it looks like there's five or six jets. Mm-hmm. Coming out of 3i Atlas. And to me, it's like when you start using artificial terms like that, like jet thrusters or artificial items, okay, outside of the scientific terminology for comets or asteroids, it tells me that they're slowly changing the narrative to get the public's opinion to think that it's artificial, that it's alien. And Mikachu Pikachu, you remember, he had a viral interview with Newsmax. And he clearly said, if it changes trajectory or speed after perihelion, it is extraterrestrial. That was 100% fact. And now it did both those things. And Mikachu Pikachu is like backtracking and now saying, oh, well, the biggest smoking gun would be if it sent a signal to Earth. Guys, they admitted already it's extraterrestrial. Like now they're dealing with the fallout and people's minds coming to grips with, like, that's what they're doing.
They're like slowly taking us back and forth until ultimately they admit something or someone sees something. Now they're saying this date in Avi Loeb is basically saying December 19th. You know, I mean, that's when it's closest to Earth, supposedly, if it follows its current trajectory, but surely they'll see it before that. And, you know, but it's interesting that he keeps saying December 19th, that is the closest, but like, why do you have to wait till that exact day to get good images of it? Why not 3 days before or five, you know, right? So I find that weird. Like it might be like some day of disclosure or like turning point that they do.
Well, why would he change his story about it? Like you just had a physicist come out and say that it's 100% extraterrestrial if it changes its speed or trajectory. A viral clip, it went viral. And now all of a sudden he's saying, well, the real smoking gun would be if it sends a signal. And now aren't they making like all the amateur astronomers or whatever report the signal if they get one?
Yeah, they sent out like this memo and like really hammered down on probably anyone they give funding to or whatever. If they don't do the right protocol, they probably get in trouble. This aurora was everywhere in the United States. People seeing this all over, all sorts of brilliant colors. These are all the same colors as spotted in the Bible for the city of New Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. I mean, if you think about it, remember when you were younger and the Aurora Borealis was only like visible up in Canada or something? And now all of a sudden we can see it all the way down to Mexico. Well, I wonder how long it's going to take for the Christians to figure out, like, these colors are the same colors described in Revelation.
Yeah, pull up the color chart right here. These are all the colors of New Jerusalem, the foundation. And the foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. For the foundation was jasper, sapphire. You know, it had all these different colors. Here's a chart of what they made look like. And then, you know, we see all of those same colors in the images of the aurora now. And it's only getting more intense every day. I mean, pretty soon you're going to see this during the daytime. And then that could be a sign, too, that the destroyer's right on top of us. And then, you know, there's still people wondering, like, is this the blue kachina coming? A lot of stuff's matching up with that, which, and the blue kachina basically matches up with, like, New Earth, like the arrival of New Earth, if you kind of think about it.
That dovetails with everybody seeing these UAPs now, Shep.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, there's hundreds of thousands of people seeing these UAPs right now, and it's, they're everywhere. And so they're clearly building something up. So what if these colors that we're seeing from the aurora is like, they can't block the aurora borealis from New Jerusalem or whatever this thing is. So they have to call it like a solar flare or something along those lines. So they keep the Christians deceived on what this thing actually is. And I tell you right now, they are doing something, and I'm not saying one way or another that I'm right or Shepard's right. All we're doing is game planning these scenarios. That's it. We're war gaming them. That's it. That's all we're doing, and we're trying to find.
Yeah, we're not saying anything. Yeah, we're not saying anything definitively. We're just always. Trying to stay on top of what's going on with the information that we have. I'm going to play a clip. I think it's like 4 or 5 minutes of this Newsmax. And
can I say one more thing before
you
play the clip? I'll let you guys know, though, that if I was forced to bet my entire asset base, my net worth on whether it was Comet or Alien, I would put it all on that it's alien.
Because there's really no proof, like evidence that it's a comet. It goes the other way, actually, like that it's actually alien.
That's the craziest thing. It's like the tinfoil hat people would be participating in tinfoil hat material if they said it was a comet, because there's more evidence that it's
maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe that's why they're covering it as a comet, and now we figured it out. So there we go. Now we know why tinfoil hat is their tinfoil hatters, because they actually think it's a comet. Okay, that makes sense.
That's so funny you did that. I love how you just had them on your desk. I'm sure those are their motocross. But that was so funny, man.
Here we go. I'm going to play Representative Anna Paulina Luna. They're talking about all this alien buildup, these UAPs. Now, a lot of people think there's going to be some fake disclosure, blue beam. Eddie Bravo was even saying he had a dream where alien showed up, but it seemed realer than ever, but it was just blue beam. And, you know, he was talking about that, too. I find that interesting. So,
well, it's going to be real. I think the crafts that show up are going to be real. I just think what they're running right now is the blue beam operation that we're seeing in the sky.
Kind of like disinfo everywhere, and maybe what they're telling us about Atlas even or something. But okay, right. So here's this clip. I'm going to play this.
Joining us now for more, Florida Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna. It's been a busy day, Congresswoman. Good to see you. At this point,
nice to see you too.
Who are these people who are still blocking the truth from the public?
Well, to our knowledge, it is definitely members of the intelligence community. And then also, too, we were recently denied access out of the Department of War, stating that we didn't have access and the proper, I guess, need to know authorities to look at some of the classified footage that is out there. as you saw in that clip that you just showed, there's actually some footage that was dead dropped to Eric Burleson, of which he then provided it to the task force. And so all I have to say is, look, in the interest of national security and national defense, obviously this is something that we should question and look to find answers for, but also to, it also signifies a massive problem when you have elements within our own government that are denying access to Congress. And this is not just a bipartisan effort, this is bicameral, meaning the House and the Senate are both supporting this, both Democrats and Republicans. It's probably one of the few things that is bipartisan. And actually this week, I think it's going to be on this upcoming week on the 17th, there's going to be a movie coming out called The Age of Disclosure, of which Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in there talking about this exact topic. And I think everyone should watch it.
Let me ask you about that, and I will. You're on the record talking about, quote, non-human life forms that could be interdimensional beings who are visiting us. Can you just explain more to people at home what that might mean?
Yeah, so that's definitely a mouthful, but that is directly based on information that we've received from witnesses, also information that we have obtained and witnessed via our investigations. There is some stuff that I can't disclose of what I have immediately seen in some of these skiffs, but what I will tell you is this is not just some crazy conspiracy theory. Obviously, there's been massive reporting, not just in the United States, but around the world. And this is something that I think everyone kind of, you know, has always had some curiosity about. We're just simply asking the questions.
Yeah, and it feels like we're building towards some sort of disclosure. I know many people are hoping that Donald Trump is president and that he's ultimately the person that allows that to happen. we just had the acting NASA administrator and transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, on this show.
She laughed when he said that's the person that allows this to happen, because she knows Donald Trump's actually not in control of that. That comes from another board, secret government.
So, I mean, you got a government representative coming out and saying that these things are interdimensional, so they're going to label them as demons to the Christians. Like, I don't know what else people need for disclosure. Like, you literally have the government coming out right now saying that it's interdimensional. Like, what?
Yeah. Well, let's listen close to her wording, because she says something else in this interview somewhere. I don't know if she said it yet because I got up, but she says yet. She says the word yet. Like, they haven't told us they're aliens yet. Like, we have, you know, so let's listen carefully.
Oh, and I asked him about this, what they're calling a comet, 3i Atlas. Take a listen to his response.
The experts at NASA have said this is a comet. It walks like a comet, talks like a comet, struts like a comet. It's a comet. And some people have said, listen, there's alien life on here.
Wait a minute. Actually, it doesn't do any of that. This guy's a moron. It does not walk like a comet, talk like one.
They're gaslighting us.
Yeah. It doesn't even do any of that. Besides, comets don't walk anyway, so he doesn't even know what he's
saying. They don't have lights facing the sun.
Yeah, or legs. I mean, it's like ridiculous. Like,
or that one point they said it was going to hit the Earth. Not true. But it is a fascinating comet.
There's no conspiracy.
You mentioned Kim Kardashian, okay, so I wanted to clarify that. No,
that's called like a straw man argument. Like, this guy's just like, yeah, and it's not going to hit the Earth either. That's like they're saying Planet X is coming in 2012. No, no one said that. I mean, that's not even like a thing. Whoever said that just made it up.
So they're creating fake storylines to gaslight and throw people off what 3i Atlas actually is. And
No, you did.
You did.
All right. So, Congresswoman, NASA has yet to release the photos. They're releasing other photos every day. They blame the shutdown. They've yet to release the photos. Do you buy that from Sean Duffy?
Yeah, you know, I actually had a conversation with NASA because I was helping Avi Loeb, who's actually a Harvard astrophysicist who's been looking into this for some time.
Right.
And remember, this is going to be one of many objects that we're going to be getting through that are interstellar because of the technology that we have now. So there are some anomalies about the comet. Like, for example, it lost its tail, which is pretty much one of the first that we've ever seen. But I do believe that it's a passing through comet. And so I don't think that we are going to have any contact with any non-human intelligence yet.
All
but the ruling's still out there on what this is. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to ask you about some legislation that you've been a part of to prevent basically another Nancy Pelosi from ever happening again. It would ban congressional stock trading.
Yep.
Why isn't there two questions, I guess. Why hasn't this already happened? And why is there not
massive bipartisan support.
Okay, well, the reason it's happening now is because eventually they're all going to be told, if they haven't already, that they're in continuity of government over something, so they don't want to making stock trades based on they know what day all this is going to go down. That's my best guess.
For something that makes so much sense.
Well, there's massive bipartisan support from the American people, but as you're seeing, insider trading, which members of Congress will tell the American people it's not happening in Congress, but that's because they're all doing it. Right. It does exist. There are members that are receiving insider information prior to shifts in the market, not to mention they're also massively getting returns on their investments to the tune of sometimes.
Okay, so that's all going on. I mean,
why would she say that, Chip?
Isn't that weird?
Why would she say yet?
Isn't that weird?
Like, maybe this Three Eye Atlas thing is just going to be the same thing over and over again, and they're using Project Blue, whatever, to make it look like something it's not, activating the sky in a sphere-like mentality or show like they do in Vegas, and maybe this is just the warm-up.
Like, well, Avi Loeb is tied into the Vegas sphere. We know that. So, yeah, I mean, It's bizarre. I'm going to play another clip now of the real BP Earth Watch talking about how he thinks someone attacked.
Well, BP Earth Watch knows that this is extraterrestrial.
Yeah, he's been covering that. In his videos, he's been covering it's extraterrestrial. But now he's analyzing this and he's saying this sucker got shot. Someone shot him. I don't know if it's the U.S. government or like Satan attacking the camp of the saints, or like, what do we got going on? A war in space? Look at this
area, because we had no tail, is almost as if something in it is still dealing with the effects of the impact. In other words, something hit it here. Now,
yes, Space Force responded.
A good friend of mine down in New Orleans,
maybe,
that worked with JPL for a long time now as a pilot, a private pilot, but worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory on this type of information in Pasadena, California. I asked her about the sightings that I had seen about different, 16 different objects that flew right over me outside of Phoenix, Arizona. And she said, Jesse, you do not realize what the United States Air Force and military has, that we will never be told it was ours. And not, you know, of course, that they have to say that, but also it makes you think. But I think, as I'm looking at it more and more, something hit Atlas right here. And why has it suddenly grown a tail? And it doesn't look like a comet tail at all. It looks like a smoke trail, a debris trail after an incident. So it would be really good, and I can't get a good picture yet, to get more information on what's inside of Atlas now, guys. But
yeah.
Did the U.S. do this? Or who's controlling Borisov that come up out of the lower atmosphere that looks a lot like this? Who's controlling that? Did it have something to do with it? Something to me was fired, hit Atlas here, and now it's limping off in this direction. We need newer pictures. Remember I said in one of them that I showed you the different objects within Atlas? And this is my reverse of that image. And we were looking at, this is not a thermal image. The thermal image is where we got the details of the craft inside. This looked like, again, the forward section of possibly the shield that we're seeing at Atlas, and then objects behind us. Remember, at the bottom was the largest object that I said it looked like it almost had double ion drives in the back and possibly could be the mothership of the group and the one that's controlling possibly the shields, or either the shields could be controlled by this entire
system. Are we going to have a blind date with aliens? That's what we have to ask ourselves. That's what Avi Loeb is wondering.
And Chip, you got to ask yourself a question. You want to know why I would bet all my money on this being alien? I would bet it all on being alien, because we can get a crystal clear, high resolution picture of Mars that's double the distance away with 3i Atlas. But for some reason, all we can get on these things are little fuzzy stuff. So what if Japan actually released a high res image and it clearly looks like a spacecraft, but nobody believed it because it was too it was too fanatical, because that would show like, hey, it's clearly a spaceship. There's no, like, there's no way scientifically this thing could be a comet ship. Like, they would have to change everything that they know, like everything.
Well, back in 2004, they started telling us that they've discovered what they thought is a Dyson sphere transiting a star. And, you know, they were kind of saying the same thing. There was people saying it's not, and there was people saying it is. But now we're fast forward to 2024, and they're saying that a study suggests that we found potential evidence of Dyson spheres in alien civilizations. And this is out of Popular Mechanics, which, you know, can't be trusted anyways, but this is what they're saying. They're saying that the search for alien life comes in many flavors, from hunting the Earth-like planets to looking for the stars with sun-like characteristics to, you know, looking for alien transmissions and all this stuff. But they're saying that Freeman Dyson in 1960 proposed the idea that a sufficiently advanced civilization, at least a type 2 civilization on the Kardashev scale, would be capable of harnessing the power of its host star by constructing a kind of cocoon that could tap into a large percentage of the star's released energy. And so therefore the concept of the Dyson sphere came about.
Well, I would like to throw out an idea, maybe a theory. I think they're making so much, like, the two people you have to watch with this are Mikachu Pikachu and Avi Loeb, which is what Shep's been reporting on, because they're like the two most trusted sources on this. I mean, we don't have people that go to college for alien disclosure or alien studies. They don't exist. So the two people that have been really shoved down our throat are Avi Loeb and Mikachu Pikachu. And both of them now are talking about a signal. So I have a theory. Again, guys, this is a theory. I think there's going to be a signal, because everything that they've said, they've always said, well, if this happens, it's alien. If this happens, it's alien. If this happens, it's alien. And then those things happen. So my idea or theory is that there is going to be a signal soon.
Now, they've heard these alien sounding signals on FM and AM stations ever since the New Jersey drone invasion. There was also a Texas military base that had a heavy incursion of drones, and there's drone, what they're calling drone incursions, but they're really orb and other craft making incursions like worldwide. And a lot of that has to do with the shutdown of air travel and all this stuff. But, you know, this objects also change colors from like red to blue and all this. And it's actually
most of the colors of New Jerusalem.
Yeah. And also red and blue, like the red and blue Kachina, like the Hopi prophecy. And I find that weird, because that all, you know, pretty much biblically ties in as well. I'm going to play a clip on the Hopi blue star prophecy, and just kind of how it could tie into New Jerusalem and New Earth, because they basically are saying like, hey, this perturber comes and it devastates the planet, and then, you know, everything's rebuilt and you get a new Earth and everything. They think that we're in the fourth world now, and this one will be the fifth world, but it's also the final, it's like the final thing here. So
they give you 90% truth and get you with the 10%, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, let's see what they say.
But there is another native people in the Americas who foretell of an impending apocalypse on planet Earth.
This the is Hopi spooky, man.
Of the American Southwest.
Yeah.
The Hopi have lived in the Three Mesas area in Arizona for thousands of years, and have an ancient tradition of prophecy.
The Hopi have been living with the idea of prophecy for many centuries, and they pass it down from generation to generation.
That guy
looks
so high.
They believe the world is their mother, the son is the father.
there and very worried about the world right now.
He was hitting the
Hopi fight. Believe that the world has been created and destroyed three
it's
times.
A Hopi fight.
They see a series of world ages that people pass through. And many Hopi elders believe that we're at the end of the fourth world.
According to Hopi legend, each world that has preceded our present one ended in cataclysm.
The first world ended with fire. The second world ended with ice. The third world ended with a great flood. And many Hopi elders believe that there are various prophetic signs that signal that we're at the very end of the fourth world. The Hopi also have predicted rivers of stone will appear on the land. This might be symbolic of the concrete roads.
They talk about the road systems. And of course, these prophecies come from way back, long before tarred roads and cement roads were really feasible.
But there are other, more ominous prophecies that point to events of the more recent past, indicating that the fourth world may be nearing its expiration date.
The Hopi predicted that at the end of the fourth world, the sea would turn black and many creatures in the sea would die. And of course, we saw this in the summer of 2010 with the Gulf oil spill. Many creatures, a lot of the marine life died in this oil spill.
As for when the end times will come about, the Hopi prophecy speaks of a celestial sign that will alert the world to its imminent destruction.
Three Eye Atlas.
One of the last prophecies was that a blue star would appear in the heavens, and then that it will signal the end of the fourth world.
This blue star's arrival will mark the beginning of a nightmarish period known as the Great Purification.
When you talk about purification, you're wiping the slate clean. These events have happened many times in history, so will man survive? Time would tell.
The Hopi prophecy tells us that the Great Purification will begin with a great shaking of the earth.
There are three circles on the lower line, and these are the three world shakings that the Hopi have predicted in their prophecies.
Some believe the shakings refer to the two world wars and the third world war still to come, but others choose a more literal interpretation. Earthquakes. The Hopi are not alone in predicting catastrophic earthquakes ending this world age. Another indigenous American people also shares this apocalyptic belief.
The Aztecs believe that we're living in the fifth cycle of the world. After the fifth cycle, there will be no other. The Aztec myth explicitly states that the end of the fifth cycle will be the end of time, and that's it. The cycle we're in is that of the earthquake, and that tells us how we're going to end.
Predictions of great earthquakes are also found in the New Testament book of Revelation.
The sixth seal speaks of a huge earthquake. That seems to speak to something that is cataclysmic.
The entire earth is convulsing under the judgment of God, and two-thirds of the earth's population dies.
The Hopi, the Aztecs, and the Christian Bible all point to catastrophic.
Yeah, go ahead. This is it's interesting how they're kind of talking about all this, but what were you saying about the Church of Asia?
I was saying that this the books of Revelation was written to the seven churches of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Like for events that would soon take place and that the time is at hand.
And so that was back when, and they're kind of in this documentary, they're kind of acting like that was now or whatever. Is that?
Yeah. It's like, how do people, like, where did people get the thought that the book of Revelation was for Greg in Ohio 2000 years down the line?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. It just like the churches of Asia received that letter from John.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so were I mean, if none of that stuff happened to them, they could just, they would just be like, oh, this guy lied to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So now that already took place in Revelations, but we're still in the last thing, and kind of like the Hopi thing is saying and everything, just this History Channel's not distinguishing.
Well, they're when... right. They're right. They're giving you 90% factual information. They're just taking away like what period of time we're in.
Which they always do.
If the Christians figure out that we're actually in Revelation 20, well, then everybody's going to know that they're preparing us to go to war with the camp of the saints.
Yeah.
Earthquakes during the end times. And many believe that this great shaking is already underway.
Earthquakes seem to be increasing in intensity and in quantity. We're getting more and more earthquakes all the time. And of course, we saw this in March of 2011 with the Japanese earthquake and tsunami that followed. The Haitian earthquake is another example.
Massive earthquakes have leveled entire cities and killed hundreds of thousands of people. And the worst may be yet to come.
Okay, so basically, you know, that's what they're saying. But interesting, right? And, you know, they admitted to receiving this signal like we were talking about. And, you know, the colors of New Jerusalem match up with the aurora. All of this is what I would call signs.
It just doesn't make sense that you should be able to see the aurora in Mexico.
No, I mean, I've never heard of that. And it's a sign, right? Like, look for the
sign. What other sign do you need? Like, Christians should be able to read the Bible, realize that the aurora borealis is the same light spectrum as, I think it's the bottom of the throne of God or New Jerusalem. Christians should be able to figure this out. But this is such a big deception ship.
Yeah.
This is huge.
I want to talk about one more thing real quick. Just so people know. So the Mormons, from what I heard from my Mormon friend, is they believe the city of Zion, which is the city of New Jerusalem, basically, will descend in Ohio. But there's also evidence of pyramids all over the U.S., like in Las Vegas, there's pyramids in Lake Mead. There's pyramids in like Wisconsin, in the Great Lakes, under the Mississippi River. They've, in my opinion, created dams to hide some of these things. And now that the water has receded in Lake Mead, this lady's going to be talking about this a little bit, just to kind of bring awareness to you. I don't have the images from this other video. Maybe I'll play it in a couple days from now or something. But now that the water's receded, people can see down in the lake, and they found a whole entire city under there.
I have a whole theory about the pyramids. I think we're just seeing the tips of the pyramids, and they are ancient structures that are like enormous obelisks. Or they were building items that looked like New Jerusalem on the ground because it was there at one time.
Oh, right. Wow.
Like it would just arrive.
Also, they might go down really deep or into the underworld or harness power out of the earth or something. I'm going to play this clip, and let's just to kind of introduce people into the fact that there's pyramids like all over the U.S. basically.
They say the way to hide things is in plain sight.
So as you can see, I'm driving through Vegas, you know, typical Vegas street. But right behind the mountains, and this is kind of like the hood area, right around the behind those mountains is the lake. And people don't even know. And there's beaches and shit there. So we're going to go.
While I was there, actually as I was leaving, I noticed these mound-like structures or these pyramid-like structures that looked out of place, and they were formed like pyramids. They were shaped like pyramids. So I'm just looking at them, and I'm like, okay, well, I have to leave, but I'm going to come back tomorrow to really
investigate. These pyramids are everywhere, man.
So I came back the next day.
So how about there's pyramids at Lake Mead? There's
pyramids. Don't play with me. They're in the fucking middle of the water. And they have like built-in buildings into the rock. I can't zoom any closer, but it's three pyramids, or really maybe four in the back.
And I went down to where the kind of the harbor is, where the boats dock out of. And I did some exploring. So this is the pyramid. And if you can see, there's something at the very tip. And
as I got closer
to the water, I was right at the water.
They're unified.
I can actually see the pyramids closer.
So, you know, I'm not going to show much more, but basically they're all over. They've built dams to cover these up. Now that water's receding, their deception is being exposed, basically.
Oh yeah, it's what a lot of New Agers now believe in Tartaria, and they believe in something called the Mud Flood. And so that's what, like, it's called revisionist history, where the history that we were taught as children growing up in grade school and everything is completely false compared to what actually happened. And again, like, there's a reason why there's Greco-Roman structures in every single country and in every single state. Like, your state capitol building, there's a reason why it's on a plaque says founded, because the Freemasons founded these things, these buildings, and that's why they're called Freemasons, because they found Freemasonry. And people are waking up to this shit. And that's why they have to start making their move, because they know they can only keep the Christians deceived for so long. But what if you want to be undeceived, like undeceived, obviously pray about it, but just read the Bible as if it was a literal text to the people of that day, and it all opens.
Yeah, when you mean literal text, you mean basically just read it word for word and accept it for how it is. Maybe realize that they had certain terminology back then.
I mean it as like read the Bible as if it wasn't lying to all the people that it was written to in that day.
Right. And you don't need a priest to tell you what it's saying when you can just read it.
That was part of the deception too, Shep. They would have priests read the Bible to everybody so they could put in their own version of what happened to make them believe at that time it was written to the people in, you know, the 1900s or the 2000s. I mean, I'm interviewing a couple churches right now that are the oldest ones I can find where I live. And one of them said, like, during the start of building this church in the 1900s or 1800s, they removed the roof of the church because they were ready for Jesus to come down, like, during their lifetime. So they literally got rid of the roof of the church instead of them understanding that the Bible was written to the people of that day.
Like, yeah.
It's written for us, but it's not written to us. You know what I mean?
Right. I see what you're saying. Now, what else do you think we should touch on? Anything that you can think of on your side? We talked about the alternative media and all that a little bit. But, you know, a lot of deceptions within the alternative media and the mainstream media, obviously. But it looks like, you know, we're moving toward disclosure, everything. We talked about that. What else do we need to cover? I'm trying to think.
Well, I think we're moving. We're moving right now into, like, we've been covering this for months, and it's just been ramping up, ramping up, ramping up. Everything that we said was going to happen has happened, and so, you know, I want to remind everybody that we're it's called game theory. We're wargaming possible scenarios, but I think we should really touch on how this is the final stretch. This is the final 30 days, which is why it's important to get this this message out to everyone, because now that we're in the final stretch, I think they're really preparing for a global blackout of electricity. And now, I think
do you think they'll do that? Like, do you think they'll actually come out? Cause like that Anna Paulina Luna said, right? Like, we're still waiting for an announcement. Do you think they'll do an announcement or go dark first?
I think they're going to do an announcement, then go dark.
That's scary. Like,
or maybe this is the announcement already. I mean, you talk to a random person now, they believe that aliens are real. But like, again, all it takes is a couple ships to pull up on somebody's major city. People see them, then blackout.
Yeah, right.
Like that's what this is going to do. When this happens, the entire world is going to change. It will not be as it was before this event.
Someone with insider information with NASA was saying that, someone within NASA was saying that the world might be changed entirely by March of next year. So I don't know if that's true or not, but.
Well, the thing is, if I would, again, this is just a theory. If I had to guess, I think they're getting ready to run a 4-year plan for till 2030. Like, that's what I think they're doing. And I think it starts with alien disclosure. And I think 3i Atlas has a lot to do with it. I mean, guys, if you remember back in July, nobody was talking about this 3i Atlas.
Yeah, we mentioned it. You mentioned it before it even was a thing, right?
Yeah, I did mention it before it was a thing, which I don't know. But, you know, I wrote you a song about it. And, yeah. Look, guys, I'm not proclaiming myself to be a prophet, but at all. What I'm saying is, like, I talked to Shepard like a week before 3i Atlas was the news, and I told it's in his broadcast, the first broadcast we did together. I called him 7 days beforehand, or maybe it was 72 hours. I forget what it was. But I told him, I said, there's going to be this comet. They're going to say it's alien, and they're getting ready for alien disclosure. And then, boom, 3i Atlas hits.
Yeah,
all these UAPs are being seen everywhere. I mean, the government's coming out with a documentary, right? Like, it's literally government officials doing a documentary.
The Age of Disclosure or something like that. Yep, it's all progressing. That's scary, actually. That Representative Anna Paulina Luna, say how she basically, like, you can tell something's coming. You know, everyone pretty much knows it, except the tinfoil hatters.
Dude, it ain't right, man. And so what I think they're doing, I think 3i Atlas is the deception, but everything else that happens on this earth is going to be real. And they're going to gather the nations for war to attack the camp of the saints, which they've implanted in everybody's mind as being an alien spacecraft because of this 3i Atlas. Yeah.
Well, and by the judging that smoke trail, Real BP Earthwatch is saying, hey, maybe we already attacked them. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, so what if they just do this, okay? Some war planning here. What if they just do this? What if we never actually get to see, like, 3i Atlas up close and personal, but they send out these other crafts around major cities?
Yeah.
So to us, we think they all came from 3i Atlas. And then they run the story like, oh, it's landed in Antarctica or it's coming in. We have to go attack it. Like, the world is being prepared for war.
Yeah.
I'm getting really fired up about this right now, Shep. The world is preparing for war. That is why every nation is at war right now. That is why we had World War I and World War II, and we have all this military spending everywhere. That is why it's called the Department of War, because they are preparing the world for one big war. And the best way to do that is to run war scenarios everywhere to make sure the public, is ready to go to war. It's called World War for a reason. And well, it's a world war against another world.
Well, the Ukraine war, they got caught using wooden guns and cardboard props and rubber tanks, inflatable tanks. And I was talking about this with Kevin Warren previously on shows, and we showed where they used inflatable tanks, and we called it an inflatable war because Kevin and I thought they basically weren't doing a war there the whole time and just kind of lying to us and just doing like skirmishes. But now, if that's true, that makes sense because all these nations put in funding to Ukraine, and they were probably gearing up with major weaponry and underground bases with all that money that got rolled out.
Yep. And if BP Earth Watch is right, I mean, maybe they're going to say that we used our planetary defense forces in correlation with Space Force to merge off this attack that was coming. Maybe they weren't even firing it through Atlas. Maybe they're going to say that they were firing at other crafts. But I am with you and Kevin that the Ukraine war was a way for them to move monies into a way to start funding extraterrestrial warfare. Like,
yeah.
There's a reason why all these countries are spending so much on military, okay? And why do we have enough nukes to blow up the planet 1,000 times over? It's because those nukes aren't meant for us. They're meant for the threat from space.
They started testing and building nukes right around the time that extraterrestrial spacecraft became a thing. So, you know, did they build them just for extraterrestrials or something? You know, that's like another whole other thing. But that all came about around the same time. And these ships started showing up to nuclear tests, supposedly, and all this stuff. So, and shutting down these nuclear silos.
Well, I mean, look at it. Like, if you think about it, you have most people say that Lucifer was released from the abyss around 1776. And there is a lot of evidence for that. I'm not putting a date on anything because of how bad they messed up the Planet X movement by putting out dates. But if Lucifer was released in 1776, you could look at it as he took, you know, 100+ years to rewrite history, retrain everybody's minds. And then after that, he started launching all these world wars to prepare the world for war. And since then, all he's been doing is increasing the technology for us to get ready to attack the camp of the saints or the city that God loves. So, I mean, it's crazy if you think about it. Like, we're just like, we're little creatures created in God's image. And we're just down here, like, making things, doing stuff, having fun with one another, you know, building cars, like we're inventing all this cool stuff, right? But what the enemy is able to do is warp our creativity into a means that benefits what his agenda is in the future. Like, I think all these airports may be forward operating bases at some point.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Anything like that, postal, post offices, stuff like that can be used. I mean, this is going to get weird. Well,
I'm not so sure they're even, like, I don't even think the government's open right now, Shep. I think all they did
It's like a thing to appease people type thing or something, because they're still saying the flights are going to be shut down and all this stuff. You know, they might have some kind of low-level thing going so people don't catch on, but then they're saying it's going to shut down again on January 30th, and so that might be the final nail in the coffin or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying the government's back open when really all they're doing is funding the government subsidies. It's like, think about it. The government's been closed since, what, October something, or was it August, September? And really, did your life change that much?
No.
So the like they are funding, they're funding the government, but they're keeping that door open because they're all going into their underground bases right now. They're all going to military bases, and they know what's about to happen up here.
Yeah, and that was even mainstream news. Like a lot of these top Trump administration people are bunkering down on military bases, basically housing on base and getting ready. So
I mean, they know with New Earth's coming, Chip. They know right. New Earth's coming, and they know the effects of what this thing has on the planet because yeah. they know what happened during Revelation and all this stuff. They put in their backstory that they have about the Anunnaki and everything, in my opinion. They planted all that. And they know this event's going to happen. They know about the weather changes. So all they can do, since they know this is happening, which is why we have satellites everywhere and all these telescopes everywhere, they know what's coming. They know when it's going to get here now. And so they are repositioning themselves and changing the perspective of what it is. They know it's coming.
Yep, I agree. Well, you want to cover anything else or?
No, I mean, I'm all good.
We pretty much went through the gambit. I mean, there's just so many developments every week. We just got to stay on it and see what happens because, like, the scariest thing to me right now is how Anna Paulina Luna was basically saying there's more coming, you know. Well,
That's what I'm trying to say, man. Like, how long is it going to take people to realize that they are telling us
yeah
that aliens are real?
Yeah, like
there's literally a documentary that has high level government officials in it. Like they're yeah. telling us, like, I don't care.
Well, it's so tinfoil hat that aliens are not real, that tinfoil hat actually made that their thing.
I mean, all in all, like, they I know I was yelling it a couple of minutes ago, but they are preparing the world for war. That is what they're doing. And Shep, when we, like, can we play the song?
Oh yeah, this is interesting. Okay, I'm gonna play this song, and then here we go.
Yeah. Hey, turn the vocals
up. Brother, I'll see you later.
All right, you have a great night, everyone.
Shepherd and Bellas and a mouse. Three-eyed Atlas. Let's go. We've been talking about that Atlas before they ever knew. Aliens coming down and the weather reports through. Historic broadcast, fact before the facts hit you. But hey, your favorite sports balls on, they distract you. It's a planet system on New Jerusalem. Beam, blue beam, flip the reverse beam. Ain't what it seem. Keep your mind awake, don't fall for the scheme. Key to survive, stay calm, don't scream. A squirrel with a nut, I'm on it like that. Reporting real time while they feed you the cap. Independent journalist banned from the map. Still dropping truth cause the system's a trap. October we called it, big like we said. Now Santa's coming with something historic instead. Between turkey and Christmas, remember that thread. It ain't no toy bag, it's light overhead. We've been talking about that Atlas before they ever knew. Aliens coming down and the weather reports through. Story broadcast, back before the facts hit you. But hey, your favorite sports balls on, they distract you. It's a planet system or New Jerusalem. Beam, blue beam, flip the reverse beam. Ain't what it seem. Keep your mind awake, don't fall for the scheme. Key to survive, stay calm, don't scream. Jesus runs this world and has all authority. Satan tries to rule by deception, just recognize it. Three-eyed Atlas, energy spinning. CME blast, yeah, the cycle's beginning. Oh, media silent, while we still winning. Truth so loud, they can't keep diminishing. They said it's nothing, but look how it moves. Comet of craft, the trajectory proves. Mickey Okaku, watching the energy groom. Science and faith in the same news loop, yeah. So tune into the Shepherd Show. He's a realest one, you know. Every feed they try to close, but truth still finds a way to glow. Three-eyed Atlas coming at you live. We the ones reporting while they hide the sky. And Bellas and Mouse still getting by. Independent truth tellers never comply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not path to service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.